Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch, watching the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump in Pennsylvania in these last hours. We're updating the information that's coming from the scene, as well as the reporting out of London. I'm watching the London Telegraph remake its page all the time. Jeff, let's update what we have now, knowing that this will change again. There's been a press conference by the state of Pennsylvania, and the FBI participated. But we did not learn anything new that has not already been in the news. So let us go over all of this together. There is a shooter. We do not have the name. There are victims, one dead, one badly wounded. And there is an investigation underway on the crime scene. Let's go back to the number of bullets. Shots fired. My memory is that when we first came across the video that shows the shots themselves, you counted three shots, one that barely missed the president and nicked his ear, and two more. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yeah, that's what I heard. You know, gunshots, listening for gunshots is always a tricky thing because of echoes and such. And, you know, I've stopped the tape several times and listened to it. And I only hear three, but we have three people that these bullets have hit. So that would make sense.
Right. And then there was a pause, and then there were a number of shots, bang, 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 afterwards. And at this point, we don't have confirmation what those shots are. We do not, at this point, believe that it was the shooter making that. The logic is that it was the Secret Service, but we're going to wait on that because we don't have clarity. Let's move to what we do know about the shooter. Do we have a weapon, Jeff? Anything that's suggested?
It's said to be an AR-15, an Armalite-style rifle. It's a lightweight semi-auto rifle. It's based on the similar on the Colt AR-15 design, so that's what people know it from. It typically fires a 223 caliber bullet, which isn't the biggest one, but hunters and target shooters do like these rifles because they're lightweight, so it's not a heavy thing to carry around in the forest or the brush. And the automatic, you know, the semi-automatic quick self-reloading feature is a big help, because if you miss your target or just wound it the first time, say a feral pig that's running at you, you have time to get lined up and shoot it again. You don't have to worry about a big reload time. But they are popular. They've been demonized by people who are anti-gun, and they're very popular, as I said, with hunters and sports shooters. And it would not be a surprise to see these in Pennsylvania. They're allowed in Pennsylvania. There are a lot of hunters, shooters in Pennsylvania, and this seems to be what they recovered.
AR-15. And is that a weapon that easily can shoot from, what'd you say, 125 meters?
Yes, and from what I've been reading a number of different reports from people who, you know, law enforcement officials, people who are familiar with the guns, and they said, really, that's not a tough shot with this gun. I would have pegged it as a much more difficult, a very challenging distance with wind blowing, but apparently, if you get enough training and you use this gun enough, you can compensate for that.
I have a note from my friend Charles Pellegrino, who is familiar with the puzzle about how you take a shot at that distance with the wind. Charlie writes, the shooter seems to have been accounting for every aspect of the wind. From what we know so far, it appears to be greater than the... This appears to be greater than Oswald radius. That's certain. Seconds before, Trump turned his head to address the audience on his right side. That made a big difference. As it is, 1 centimeter more to his left, and the bullet would have hit him square in the head. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at the bullet was headed for his head, and he turned his head beforehand. Is that your conclusion as well, Jeff?
I would agree. I do agree that by turning his head, he averted a much more lethal shot, probably a fatal one. But also, you know, that distance with that gun, with that wind that day, there's so many other things you have to, you know, a real shooter will have to figure in, you know, heat and humidity, windage, you know, over a long distance, curvature of the earth, that may not be long enough for this one. But, you know, people who are in the caliber of being, you know, police or military snipers, it's not just lining up something or someone in a crosshair. It's a puzzle that has to be worked out with math and, you know, experience. And so it takes a lot. And, you know, the other thing with sniper teams is they often work in teams. There's one person who's a spotter and that can tell you all of the figures, you know, windage and up and down and everything else. And the other one is the trigger man. And this guy was working solo. So it says something about this person's skill or luck.
Yes. Let's get back to the shooter. The press conference did not give us a name. I have this from London, 5:03 a.m., which is just after midnight right now, East Coast time. One shooter, quote, tentatively identified during a press conference. This is London Telegraph reporting. One law enforcement official said they had tentatively identified a gunman linked to the shooting. "We're not stopping there," he said. "We're following up on a lot of information." One official said they were currently looking at photographs and trying to run his DNA and get biometric confirmation. The FBI is led by Special Agent in charge of the Pittsburgh Field Office, Kevin Rojek. He said they were calling Saturday's shooting an assassination attempt against former President Trump. He said they were not prepared to identify who the shooter is until they are 100% confident of the identity. The law enforcement agency has also not yet identified a motive. We had the detail of 20 years old, but that doesn't look to be confirmed by the press conference. Did you hear anything like that at the press conference, Jeff?
No, they're really staying closed-lipped on this. They're saying that until they actually have all their I's dotted and T's crossed, they're not going to go with an ID for the public. So my feeling from watching them talk about it for a while now and what I've seen online is they're very close, but they want to make sure they're absolutely correct, because I think one of the things they're worried about is what happens if this person has closer political ties with somebody than we can imagine, or what if this person has been affiliated before or been, you know, observed before, any of those types of things. The Secret Service and the police folks there and that incident site are already kind of in a world of trouble about letting somebody like that get so close. And if this guy was already on a list somewhere, then it's going to be even worse.
We do know that 20 was mentioned, but not by the FBI. Maybe a reporter picked it up. In fact, there is a report that a CNN reporter put it out on X, so it's not confirmed. All we have is what the press conference said. There'll be more information once they've checked out his DNA. So let's roll back to more that we've learned. There are very loud voices from the Republican Party right now. Some of them are angry. We're going to concentrate on the institutional voices. The Republican House is calling for the Secret Service to attend hearings immediately, ASAP, I believe was the way it was put, to explain the assassination attempt. We can imagine that things are not going to go well for the Secret Service, but there is a mitigation. What about Homeland Security, Jeff? You mentioned something before about Homeland Security and the Secret Service.
Well, there are all kinds of things swirling around, as you can imagine. One is the director of the Secret Service really qualified to be in her position? Apparently, prior to being named the Secret Service Director, she was in charge of security at PepsiCo, or a portion of PepsiCo. And so people are saying, how does that equate with being in charge of diplomatic protection and all the other things that Secret Service is involved with. And then on executive protection, for example. But then there's talk, there were talks about the Trump organization had gone to Homeland Security and Secret Service and said, look, we need more protection. Everything's being ramped up in terms of rhetoric and people were concerned about. That was turned down. And of course, there's the ongoing situation around Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Continuously having his Secret Service request turned down. And he's already been approached by two or three or four assailants or possible assailants. So there's a lot of concern right now why people who are not the Democratic candidate are not getting the coverage that they need.
We have reports, various reports from news organizations that eyewitnesses are saying that they saw the quote, we noticed a guy army crawling, bear crawling up the roof. This is a BBC report from an eyewitness. You can clearly see him with a rifle. A number of people have said, we told them, we tried to tell, it's not clear who they told or whether there was any response. There was an earlier report that the roof where the shooter eventually died was out of line of sight of the Secret Service, but that's not consistent because the suspicion is the Secret Service were that second burst of fire that ended the shooter's life. We don't know. We're still looking. But there are a lot of eyewitnesses. And I think I heard in the press conference, Jeff, that they're asking people to call in if they saw anything.
Yes, they are. I think they feel right now that they can maybe belay those comments about, hey, we warned them, and they can say, well, you know, maybe it was one or two. But if they get a lot of people saying that, that's going to change the situation a lot.
Back in Washington, the president has returned to the White House. The president has reached Donald Trump on the phone and talked to him. He's also talked to other people very important about the matter and continuing to make phone calls. So the president is on the scene in Washington, not in his Delaware residence, beach residence. There are, as I said, there are a number of strident voices from the Republican Party. There's no reason to look to partisanship. There were days before the Republican convention. There's no mention of anything preventing the Republican convention from going forward. We believe it'll be on time. There has been reporting that there are going to be a number of demonstrators at the convention. And that's not too surprising.
No, not surprising at all. Let me just interrupt. I'm seeing a breaking story right now in the New York Post. The gunman who attempted to assassinate former President Donald Trump Saturday was identified as 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. Crooks was planted on a roof of a manufacturing plant more than 130 yards from the stage, and he was taken down by Secret Service snipers. There is no other information right now on his motivation.
So the Post, again, first three reports are wrong. The New York Post is giving us, let's go through that again. His name, Jeff?
His name is Thomas Matthew Crooks of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. And he's reported to be 20 years old, which fits with other reports that we've heard.
And he is deceased, and they're saying that it was the Secret Service who stopped him.
Yeah, he was killed by Secret Service snipers, and the AR-style rifle that he was using was later recovered. And his hometown there, Bethel Park, is a village about 40 miles south of where the rally was held today.
So we presume there's a vehicle.
There would have to be, somehow.
So they have the vehicle, unless he found public transportation or somebody gave him a ride. And we'll learn more about his social media, we presume. Much more about his motive. We need a motive. And the press conference made a special note of that, that they don't have a motive.
Yeah, that was one of the first things they said when they were talking about this.
All right, let's go through as we end this third update. I first learned of this when Jeff called me. It was just immediately afterwards, right, Jeff? They're saying the shooting took place about 6:15 East Coast time, and you called me not long after that.
That's right. I was actually calling you as they were in the middle of trying to evacuate the rally point.
And at that point, we had no information whatsoever other than the fact that Donald Trump was not badly wounded and that he had been taken from the scene. That's all we had. And we had the video of the shots, and that's when Jeff counted the first three shots. Bang, bang, bang. Pop, pop, pop is what it sounded like. And we had a number of photographs of the Secret Service doing their job, bundling the former president off. We have that iconic picture, as Jeff says, of the former president raising his fist. And we had not much else at the time. We didn't know where the gunshot. I think, Jeff, at that point there was indication that it had come from the right side, which is consistent with what we now know to be the fact. Do I remember that correctly?
That is correct, and that comports with the location of the building where the shooter's body was found.
We did not know at that hour that there was damage to the audience. Now it turns out there was a second shot that killed someone. We don't have that name. And wounded another. We don't have that name. We do have testimony of a physician giving CPR to the man woman who is now deceased. We had chaos in the audience evacuating. And Jeff, you made a point that everybody was to leave everything in their seats, or it was the TV crew that was to leave everything.
Yeah, they essentially told everybody, just leave what you have here and get out. Whatever you have on your body is fine, your wallet, keys, whatever, but leave everything else. It's a crime scene. They need to look over everything. TV crews were forced to leave their equipment there. They didn't have a choice. So some had smaller cameras or other cameras with them outside, and so that's how they were able to report from outside the perimeter. But when you see the aerial shots of the crime scene, it's quite a mess. It's just trash and debris strewn everywhere.
Now, you've seen the overhead. The building where the shooter, we didn't have that shooter in the first update. We had that in the second update after 8:30 East Coast time. The building where the shooter used, is it all by itself in the area?
No, there are other buildings around it. It's actually connected to a small complex of these, low buildings. And they look like the kind of buildings that could either be storage units or small manufacturing shops or places like that. Places you see everywhere across the country. Nothing remarkable about them. Most of them don't have windows. They either have flat roofs or very low-sloped roofs. So it's a very nondescript area. But it is right there in the sight line of the podium. And it's just a clear shot. That's what it was.
Now we have an additional, let me see if this is right. This is a remake in London. Butler Township Police Department Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens said there were three victims in total. He said besides Trump, two victims were critically wounded and a third was killed. That's new information, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, the additional one is a new information. I do know that one of the people that was injured, shot in the neck, was the nephew of Representative Ronny Jackson of Texas, who was there at the rally. I don't know his condition. Now, I've seen video of two of the victims being brought out. One was ambulatory, and it appeared like he'd been shot maybe in the arm or shoulder. But the other one had been put into a makeshift litter, like a big blanket or something, and several men were carrying that to a waiting ambulance. But it wasn't long after that that a life flight helicopter landed, so that might have been for that person. But it does appear that there's now a third shooting victim.
Yes, we don't have any reason. We don't have any explanation for that, because we also have this. Bomb squad deployed. This is London. Bomb squad deployed to assess suspicious packages. Mr. Rojak, that's the FBI in charge, said bomb assets had been deployed to check any suspicious packages near where the shooter was located. He said it was an active crime scene. That's the first I've heard of bomb.
I think that would be the smart thing, thinking that it's possible that if the shooter was committed and thought that he might be taken out, that he would at least leave some booby traps. But that's just a guess.
FBI agent Rojek said the single greatest priority at this moment is, quote, identifying a motive, whether there was anyone else involved. I agree. We need a motive. We have weapon. We have opportunity. We certainly have a perpetrator, suspect, alleged perpetrator. But we do not have a motive. And without a motive, this is random chaos. 20 years old and gone. That alone is a tragedy.
It is.
Whatever is behind this, I repeat what I said in the first time we were talking, when we didn't have much information, just history. Living through 1968, I was in university. And the year started with the Tet Offensive, which was catastrophe. Vietnam. And then Lyndon Johnson chose not to run for re-election. Complete disorder in Washington. And then Martin Luther King was assassinated in April in Tennessee. Complete fear. The funeral was attended by all the presidential candidates. Richard Nixon marched. Hubert Humphrey marched. I don't remember, but I think Robert Kennedy had gotten into the race at that point. Or if he hadn't, he was certainly there. And then in June, and Jeff helped me, it's June 6th, I was still at university because I was working the reunions for older classes. June 6th, Bobby Kennedy was shot in the Los Angeles Hotel right after he'd won the California primary and was looking to be a strong candidate for the nomination. And then came the August convention in Chicago, which was total chaos. Called a police riot afterwards, Mayor Daley very angry against the young people protesting the war, the Vietnam War. And at that point, chaos ruled the land. And Richard Nixon was elected by a very small margin. I think some of the smallest in history. I'm pretty sure it was. Not as tight as the election that was run in 16 and 20, however. And we'll see if 24 is any different. And so by the end of the year, the great relief for the United States, the surprise relief, but at the same time, a part of the genius of NASA was Apollo 8. Apollo 8 at Christmas time. It was a bad year, but at the end, there was redemption. Now, hope is not a plan, but we do need something like that. Fair enough, Jeff? A little redemption? An Apollo 8 out there?
Yeah, you sure hope so. It feels, as you pointed out in an earlier broadcast, that there's this ominous kind of curtain that's above us or hanging around us. And we've got to find some way to move that, because I really do feel like we're heading back in the wrong direction, talking about some of those things you were talking about. I mean, are we going to be talking about weather underground again? Are we going to talk about some reaction to all this? One of my earliest memories and being from Boston was the day Kennedy was killed. I had no understanding what was going on, but being around enough Irish Catholics at that time, the grief, the wailing, the screaming, I was in a store with my family when that happened. And of course, it was like a Sears where they had all the big TVs lined up. And it didn't seem that long. I really wasn't paying attention, but it didn't seem that long until we had Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. That happened. It didn't seem long until the attempts on Ford and Reagan. And so for me, it just kind of feels like, I just kind of feel like we're having a hard time getting out of this quicksand. I know there were years between some of these things, actually decades between some of these things, but the way the country feels right now, it does not feel like it's in the right direction. I hope we can find that Apollo 8 moment that you're talking about.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. There'll be more in the next 24 hours as we get clarity about the name that the New York Post is moving and the details. And as the FBI special agent in charge says, the motive. This is a Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.